From WBRI, 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Shared Show.
Hey there, Martin. It's Wednesday. It's hump day, isn't it?
That's what they call it.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Appreciate it. I think they're always clapping for me.
No, they're clapping for me, but you can go ahead and have your fantasies.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What are we talking about today?
You decided on the last show, which stunned me, that you brought up the topic of the eons.
The eons.
And I still personally thought we had a couple loose ends.
For Debbie?
Because I know you're looking at me like, but I was rolling in my bed last night. I was just paying. There was an unfinished business on this board to get thing. I'm sorry. It worked on me. I couldn't even sleep. I had to come in today and get this out before we did the next show.
Well, so you ahead and take a nap, and I will finish the show for you.
We said, I have to do this. I'm sorry, it's just bothering me. I hope people understand because I think that I don't think we emphasized enough when we talked about being born again and how impossible it was. I almost feel like we left our listeners with, and Israel. There's a poor Israelite out there, maybe somebody who's related to Nicodemus, and I apologize for what I call Nicodemus. I also felt bad about that.
No, that's all right.
You know, I really
You called him weak. That's fine. Good enough.
Okay.
So you apologized on the program
did
for
I?
Already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. I guess it still bothered me. So anyway, we left him with an impossibility, Israel with an impossibility. You mentioned a couple verses from the Hebrew Scriptures where God is going to fulfill the impossibility.
Yes.
God himself is going to put his law within their hearts.
Yes.
And God is going to fulfill the covenant. And God himself and their Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to return, and he's going to give Israel a new heart, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. So he himself is going to birth the nation at one time.
Yeah.
And I feel that is the, that's what we were working toward that we never quite got to, that it's going to happen and God's going to accomplish it, and in the meantime, Israel's just going to sit back and go, "Oh, that was cool."
Yeah,
they're not going to contribute. God's going to do it for them.
Yeah,
and they're going to be in almost just standing by and saying, "Oh, we have new hearts now. Ooh, how did that happen? We couldn't do it ourselves."
Well, that's a fantastic explanation there. What does that have to do with the ends right now?
With what? What does that have to do with what?
I thought we were talking about the eons today.
Well, we were talking about the eons, but I feel better now. I'm purged.
Oh, you are. You feel better. You got that out.
I got that out, right.
But it does have a relation to the eons because this event, this new birth for Israel, is going to take place in the coming eon.
That's very good. Nice
segue.
So
we're going to talk about that. We asked the question yesterday, and we're going to look at it today when... And I used to do this myself. I used to always ask the question, where will you spend eternity? How many of you heard that? I know everyone probably listening to this program has at one time in their life heard this phrase from an evangelist where he gets up and says, where will you spend eternity?
Over any points
and he points at you. And the question is a false question because no one, isn't it interesting that the type of stuff the evangelists of this day use are never found in Scripture? The gospel they preach, you must be born again. Paul never proclaimed that.
It is a scriptural doctrine.
It's a scriptural
doctrine.
That's
the thing
that
confuses people. It's in the Bible. There it is. It's right there.
Well, here's another one, but it's not in the Bible. And then you have the evangelist saying, where will you spend eternity? Asking the question. That's not in the Bible. And then you have the Christian religion teaching, where will you go when you die? Another question that is, it's an unbiblical question. And so there are a lot of terminology we need to correct here, and I think the eons is very important. So the question, where will you spend eternity, is not the right question, because we pointed out yesterday, God has never burdened our mind with eternity.
He burdens our mind with enough without us having.
Yes, right. He's given us the ages, the eons, in the concordant literal New Testament. And there are different terms in the Scripture, different Greek words for time. You have the word eons, you have the word times, and you have the word seasons or eras in the concordant version. And they're all different periods of time. An era is a shorter period of time.
It would be a subdivision within an eon.
Right. Yeah. Now, in the Scripture, there are five great eons. We know there are two eons in the past.
How do we know that?
And we're going to know that. We'll get into that in a second.
All right.
There are two eons in the future, and we live now in the present wicked eon. Galatians 1. We can look there real quick if you want to look at some of these passages in Galatians chapter 1. Paul, first of all, where are we at now? We'll talk about where we've been, where we're at now. Actually, today's Wednesday, right? Today's hump
right.
day? Well, we're on hump eon.
This is the hump eon?
Yeah, we're in the hump eon. We're headed toward the weekend here. And in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says that, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself for our sins, so that he might extricate us out of the present wicked eon. Now, the eon we're living now is a wicked eon. And for the do-gooders out there who are trying to change the world...
Hey, that's me.
There you go.
What are you talking?
Trying to change the world and give it a fresh coat of paint. Yeah. We live in a wicked eon. And this eon will continue to be wicked until the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. It will never cease to be a wicked eon. We're living... looking at me funny.
No, so those who are trying to change the eon are going against God's intention for this eon.
Okay.
You know, onward Christian soldiers, right?
Right.
And that is an exhaustive call, because when you discover that this eon's going to remain wicked, as you said, until Christ returns, then the Christian soldiers are kind of out of work.
Yeah.
Especially the ones who think it's their responsibility to turn this evil eon into a good one before Christ returns. God help you if that's your call. And if you wake up in the morning, because you're pushing a heavy wheelbarrow up a big hill, folks, if that's your...
True.
Yes.
Well, let's look at another passage in Ephesians 1. This is just to give them a little feel, Martin, and to give them a feel on some of these phrases where we had the word eons. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, speaking of the ascension of Christ, it says that he seated him at his right hand among the celestials, verse 21 of Ephesians 1, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this eon, the eon we're living in now, but also in that which is impending. There's an eon that's impending. What eon is that referring to? You want to answer that?
The 1,000 years.
The 1,000-year
reign. The millennium
reign.
Promised to Israel.
Exactly. Now, I want to show you how the term eons are used with precision. Now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. You don't mind that I'm jumping from scripture to scripture here, do you?
Yeah, but okay. Go ahead anyway.
All right. Now, in first turn to Hebrews 5, verse 6. I want to show you this. Hebrews 5, verse 6, we read this. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6, it says regarding the priesthood of Christ, thou art a priest for the eon according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, this is an eon, and this eon is referring to the millennial reign. He will be a priest during the millennium, but he will also be a king during the millennium. He's a priest and king. Read Zechariah and a few other Old Testament passages. The Lord Jesus fulfills Moses as a prophet, and he fulfills Aaron as the priest, and David as the king. He's the prophet, priest, and king. But if you notice in Hebrews 1, verse 8, it says, yet to the Son, God says, thy throne, O God, is for the eon of the eon. And that's referring to the new heavens and new earth. So the priesthood of Christ is for the millennium. His kingship lasts through the new heavens and new earth.
And the new heavens and new earth, to make it clear, is an eon that is going to follow the thousand-year kingdom. Because I used to think that when Jesus returns, sets up his kingdom, the 1,000 years, that's heaven. That's why I used to think that. And then I thought that was the end. Jesus said, and then cometh the end. And so that this is the end-all and be-all of God's program. But it's not, because if the kingdom's 1,000 years, which is where we get the term millennium, it stands to reason that when that 1,000 years are finished, and the scripture actually uses that phrase, and when the 1,000 years are finished,
yes,
read the whole book of Revelation, right, not sure where that is, then Satan will be loosed.
Right.
So the 1,000 years are going to finish. Well, that's intriguing.
Yes.
If this is the eon when Christ rules as a priest and that's going to finish, then we get the startling idea that Christ's priesthood is going to finish. And that sounds like blasphemy to some people until you realize, as you said, Dan, that he is a priest and a king, and he comes into his kingship after the 1,000 years, and it's a new eon at that time. And as you said, it's the new heavens and the new earth.
So what happens is we're living in a present wicked eon. In the millennial kingdom, he's priest and king, right? There, and priesthood implies that there's a distance between.
Wait a minute, is he a priest and a king in the coming
yes,
eon?
Yes, he is.
Okay, but you're saying he's both.
He's
but
both.
But his then priesthood retires
and then,
only.
And then and the priesthood retires, and in the new heavens and new earth, he's
the
a king.
The king goes on.
Because there's that distance, that distance is... Notice with each eon, we get closer to God.
Yes, that's another good point with the eons. The early eons that we haven't even touched on, there were two eons before this one, and we'll tell you why that is. The eons do progress. Mm. We had no revelation of God in the first eon. In the second
which
eon,
which is Genesis 1:1,
Genesis
1:1,
God created the heavens and the earth. This
verse
was before mankind was even on the earth.
Yes.
And God had not revealed himself to mankind because there was no mankind.
Mm-hmm.
There were spiritual beings existent when God created the heavens and the earth. It was a demonstration of God's power, but not of his heart. The second eon was when God begins to recreate the earth.
Genesis 1:2, when the earth became vacant and a chaos.
Yes. In between Eon 1 and Eon 2, the earth became...
Now, many people have argued against that, but the translation is it's vacant and chaos. This is not how the world was created. It became that way.
It became that way, and then God is recreating it when he brings out the sun, and he brings out the stars, he brings the land out from the chaos. And so here we have a new Eon, and now we have Adam, and now we see God beginning to reveal himself. He walks and talks with Adam, but it's very primitive. We don't know much about God at this point.
Yep.
And as we go through the following eon, then we begin to have governments. The eon after that, the eon we're in now, began after the flood of Noah.
Right.
And after the flood of Noah, we see the beginning of nations. We see the beginning of human rule. Before, you didn't have nations. You had human rule, I guess,
right,
but you didn't have the nations in Adam's day.
Right.
So we're getting more details. We have the law coming in during this eon, many more details about God.
So we have five eons, Genesis 1:1. And then Genesis 1:2 to the flood, from the flood till the second to the future, second coming of
the
Christ.
The return of Christ.
The millennial kingdom.
That's an eon.
And then the new heavens, new earth. There are the five eons, and we live in the middle one. We live in the middle eon.
That's right.
This present wicked eon. And so the real question somebody should ask is, where will you spend the eons?
Because not everyone will spend the eons with God in Christ.
Exactly. And this is what we are going to talk about. We'll have to come back to this.
No kidding, yes.
Is that we're going to show you that those who do not believe do not have eonian life. That means they do not have life in these next two eons to come.
And folks, that is a scriptural phrase, eonian life. What we're telling you is based on the Word of God. If it wasn't, we could not believe it. But these words are there. You haven't seen them because of faulty translations, and it's our privilege to bring these truths
and
out
so,
to
you. And so till tomorrow, think about where you're going to spend the eons. Oh, that guy's a relentless. Duke, you're relentless.
Well, when it's time to go, it's time to go. I'm Martin Zender. You can find me at my website at Martin Zender. Shut up, Dan. I'm going to do it first this time. MartinZender.com. Where are you found?
I am Dan Sheridan. I'm sitting right here, and you can find me at paulsevangel.com.
We'll be back again tomorrow, whether you like it or not. Thanks for listening.
Shut up, Duke!
She puts another shut up in there at the end.